Good morning, Commissioner. First of all, welcome you to the Parliament of Malta, and on behalf of the Maltese, I give you a warm welcome here. Commissioner Ansip, responsible for the digital single market, and your delegation here, thank you for finding time as well to exchange views with us parliamentarians. I start by introducing my colleagues on the right, Honourable Mr. Scicluna, Minister of Finance, Honourable Michael Falzon, and European Member of Parliament, Roberta Metsola. Mr. Commissioner, I will make a short introduction and then I will cordially invite you to inform us about the Commission, what will be the Commission will be doing exactly in this very important and dynamic sector, so that the EU and therefore its member state will be competitive and leaders on the world stage. One of the priority areas of Malta's EU presidency will be related to a smart Europe, that is, making the most of opportunities connected with the Mediterranean dimension, maritime policy, and the digital single market. As we know, the digital single market is divided under, or falls under, three main pillars. That is, better access for consumers and business to online goods and services, creating the right conditions and a level playing field for digital networks, and maximizing the growth potential of the digital economy. In the Digital Economy and Society Index, Malta scored an overall of 0.56 and ranks 11 out of 22 European member states. This scores, in our opinion, highlights that Malta ranks above the EU average and that the country developed faster than the European Union. From a connectivity perspective, all Maltese households are covered by fixed broadband, placing Malta ninth in connectivity scores. And Malta registers also a positive development in relationship to the usage, where in 2015, 70% declared to be regular users. From a business perspective, then, Malta still has a large potential for improvement, with the e-commerce representing only 4.2% and turnover of SMEs and only 7.9% of enterprises uses e-invoicing. From an e-government perspective, Malta scores very well, although we still think that there is space for improvement, and also it can also improve the accessibility from e-commerce. Well, that was a very brief introduction from our side. For the moment, I stop here because we are more eager to hear from you, Mr. Commissioner, about the initiatives and actions that the Commission will obviously have in mind and also eventually will implement, and also invite the members after this introduction to comment. So, it's up to you now, Mr. Commissioner.
Thank you very much for your time, but I would like to start with the question, how much time do we have?
Yeah. You are our guest, so...
University of Students.
So we have half, 30-45 minutes, yeah.
Until
12. You have 40 minutes.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you very much for those introductory words. As you said, Malta is doing well, I agree with this, in digital meaning, according to Digital Economy and Society Index, Malta ranks on 11th place, trend is really good, trend is up, speed of those developments here in Malta is higher than in the European Union, than in the rest of the Union, as you mentioned, there is full coverage of 4G network in Malta. Also, all the people, they have access to high-speed networks. High-speed, in this meaning, is only 30 megabits per second. In this meaning, Malta is doing really well. But talking about... the European Union, and then we have to say that picture is not so nice at all. So 20 years ago, we were able to operate single market in the European Union, and everybody benefited from this single market. We were able to tear down those barriers dividing our member states, but only in physical meaning. And now, because of the fact that our life, our economy is becoming more and more digital, we can see almost every morning how those barriers dividing our member states, they are higher and higher. So cost of non-European digital meaning is huge, according to analysis prepared by the European Parliament. Cost of non-European digital meaning is 415 billion euros per year, and this amount of money will increase with years if we will be not able to tear down those digital barriers now dividing our member states. So last May, we launched Digital Single Market Strategy. Our aim is to create digital single markets, where we set 16 different aims. And on the basis of this Digital Single Market Strategy, we launched our first proposals already last December. And this year is delivery year. But there is lot of work we have to do. It's not done deal yet, and I really hope that also because of Maltese presidency, next year will be a good year for Maltese people, but not only for Maltese people, also for people in the European Union in digital meaning. So last December we launched also a portability proposal. We know that today, 20% of Europeans are spending at least 10 days during the year in another EU member state. And many of those people traveling in some other EU member states, they would like to get access to their legally bought digital content in their home countries when traveling. But because of copyright restrictions, they cannot. For our ordinary people, it's not a big problem, because VPN is available. 20% of internet users in the European Union are using VPN to get access to the digital content. And to use VPN, you have to pay. It's not free of charge. You have to pay 6, 8, 10 euros per month, 20 euros per 3 months. And if paid, you don't think that you're doing something in a wrong way. But there is a problem. Authors are not fairly remunerated. Even 68% of film viewers in the European Union said that they are using so-called free downloads to get access to digital content, to movies. So 68%, maybe too many people are using those free downloads. It means stealing, of course. So once again, authors are not fairly remunerated. Piracy is a real headache everywhere, not only in the European Union, but to tackle the piracy, we have at first to provide legal access to our citizens to their legally bought digital content. And that's why we made this portability proposal. Negotiations, all the process is going on. And I'm sure next year, also thanks to Maltese presidency, we will be able to allow portability of the content to our people. It means our people, they will get right to enjoy their movies, their music, their e-books, audiobooks, games. This is important for Malta. So sports also when traveling in some other EU member states. So we will protect this principle of territoriality, but if somebody says that they have to provide absolute territorial exclusivity to investors to get finances for movies, and then my understanding about absolute exclusivity is a little bit different. Absolute for me means zero or 100%. But if it's about 20% of internet users who are using VPN to get access to digital content, or 68% of film viewers who are using their free downloads, then it's a very relative understanding about what absolute really means. So, yeah, we will protect the principle of territoriality, but we have to provide also legal access to people's legally bought digital content when traveling in some other countries. So, second, from those, this triple win, I hope people they will get next year, will be abolishing of roaming surcharges. And those aims, they are also connected. If people, they don't have to pay for roaming surcharges, they would like to use much more of their mobile devices when traveling in some other countries, and they will start to use much more also this content they have access at home, legal access at home when traveling in some other countries. And now it will be up to us either to push those people to steal or to allow them legal access to digital content. Abolishing of roaming surcharges. This is a long process. We started with this process in the European Union in the year 2007 already, when this proposal was made. First time we decreased those roaming surcharges in the year 2009. But this process was quite slow in the very beginning. But since this May, we were able to decrease those roaming surcharges for 75%. And now we can say that, or a lot of people, they said that it's the first year when they don't have to switch off their mobile devices when traveling in some other countries, you know. It's not murdering in their wallets anymore to use mobile devices when in another country. So altogether, in comparison with the year 2009, we were able to cut those roaming surcharges for voice minutes and SMS messages for 92%. And for data, it was even 96%. And now it seems that if we were able to cut those 96%, why we have to waste time to talk about those 4%? But situation in the European Union, in different member states, is very different. Here in Malta, for example, but also in Cyprus, in Croatia, in some parts of Greece, for example, mobile operators have to make investments to provide services for tourists visiting those beautiful countries only during the free summer month, and it means they will be not able to get revenues during the other 9 months. And of course, I'm making this picture too black and white, simplifying the situation, but to make it understandable, you know, sometimes simplifying is good. So it's clear we have to provide to protect those investments made in southern countries to provide services for tourists during the season. At the same time, we know that that in Scandinavian countries, in Baltic states, operators they are offering very generous packages with really affordable prices. And talking about prices, we have to say that those prices, once again, they are very different in the European Union. In Finland, for example, they can buy with the same amount of money 100 times more gigabytes than in Hungary, for example. Not about some percentages, but 100 times. So, average consumption of data, of gigabytes, in Finland is 10 gigabytes per month, almost the same in all those Nordic countries. But the average in the European Union is just 1 gigabyte per month. If wholesale price inside of Estonia, in the country I know best, is 1.4 or 1.3 euros per gigabyte. And if this wholesale price in the European Union will be, as we proposed, as it was proposed by the European Commission, 8.5 euros per gigabyte, then it means that every gigabyte consumed by Estonians somewhere in Brussels, for example, will generate losses for service providers, 7.1 euros per gigabyte, which is quite a big amount of money. I'm sure those service providers, they will be able to manage even with those losses coming from roaming. But there is a precondition. We have to avoid abuse of this system. So it's, of course, it will be very popular if we will say that for example, metro tickets, it doesn't matter from which city you bought those tickets, you can use those tickets in all the metros across the European Union. And this city providing the most efficient service, the lowest prices, has to cover this difference between domestic price, for example, somewhere in London, where prices are on a much higher level. So it will never happen so with metro tickets, but sometimes people, they think that permanent roaming will be possible, and they are asking exactly for that kind of situation in mobile sector. So if this pattern of trips made by Europeans will be not changed, then I think those mobile operators, they will survive even in Nordic countries with this roam-like-at-home system. But it's clear that people will not start to travel more just because they don't have to pay for those high roaming surcharges anymore. But if there will be some kind of arbitrage option, then somebody will immediately start to, I'm talking about possible virtual mobile operators, will start to buy generous and cheap packages, SIM cards from somewhere, and then they will sell those packages somewhere where prices are on a much higher level. And if those operators selling those cheap packages and generous packages have to cover this difference between prices, then they will collapse during the very short period of time. So, fair use principles. Those principles, they have to avoid abuse of the system. Then wholesale reform, it's even also in legal meaning, precondition for abolishing of roaming surcharges. And then we have to deal also with sustainability clause. Some operators will face with really big losses, more than 5% from their revenues coming from roaming, then they will have a right to ask for derogation to stay out of this system. Now there is a question, is it correct to push somebody to make losses, 5% from revenues coming from roaming? Is it liberal approach or not? When we are thinking about universal service obligation, it's about the same. We are pushing operators to cover some cover losses that they are making in some areas with profits they will generate in some with some other services. But anyway, if it will be even 5% this level of losses they have to accept, then according to our analysis, 2% from all the mobile operators in the European Union, they will have this right to ask for derogation. If this level will be not 5%, it will be we are not pushing them to make losses, then even 12% from all the operators, they will have rights to ask for derogation, to stay out of the system. I don't think it will be very popular for mobile operators to ask for derogation. But now, for example, those Nordic operators, they are pushing public opinion to accept, and the European Commission also, to accept this very, very huge derogation. They say that our people, they don't have to get to this room like at home, freedom, let us stay out from this new system, which is too easy solution, and I don't think Nordic people, they will be happy about this solution. So about Estonia, I know that since this January, for example, when Telia operator abolished those roaming surcharges for Estonians traveling in Finland, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Lithuania and Latvia, consumption of data increased even 33 times. Not 33%, but 33 times. So it means roaming surcharges, they are still like artificial barrier for our people, people they are not able to get access to digital content because high prices. So maybe Estonians are they are too price sensitive people, but I think it's everywhere the same story. So we have to deal with those this issue, and I hope during Maltese presidency we will be able to reach this consensus. Now, for some journalists, maybe. There is some kind of competition who will be able to make the most ambitious proposal. So biggest number of days or unlimited, lowest or highest wholesale price, we can say 100 euros per 1 gigabyte, 1 cent per 1 gigabyte, but this is not a competition. Who will be able to make the most ambitious proposal? We have to reach consensus between South and Northern countries, operators. Now we know that there is blocking minority in both sides. And how to reach this consensus? This is a tricky question, and we have to deal with this issue. So, talking too much, but the third big victory for our people will be about abolishing of unjustified geo-blocking. As we all know, today, if you would like to buy some goods and services from another country, too often they say, sorry, this service is not available in your country. So we organized a so-called mystery shopping survey in the European Commission, and according to those results, 2% of those people who wanted to buy some goods and services from another country, they couldn't get access to those websites because their IP address was wrong. They were from Malta or from Estonia or from Belgium. This is not just a problem for our countries, but this problem also between Belgium and France, for example. Many times I wanted to buy something from France. They said, sorry, this is not available in your country, but my country was Belgium. So Belgium and Netherlands, the same story everywhere. So we can say 2%, not so about so many people who couldn't get access to those websites because their IP address was wrong, but 27% of those people who got access to those websites, they couldn't register it because they were from wrong countries once again. Their IP address was wrong. Then 32% of those people who got access to websites, they faced with delivery problems. So those are natural problems, and to find solution for those problems, we made our parcel delivery proposal. So, but even 26% of those people who didn't have any kind of problems with delivery issues, they couldn't pay. We have SEPA in the European Union, Single European Payments Area, but 26% of people, they couldn't pay because their credit card was issued in wrong country. And once again, this is not a case just for Maltese people. It's a problem between France and Belgium, Belgium and Netherlands, everywhere. The same story. So all in all, just 36% from all those people who wanted to buy some goods and services from another country, they were able to conclude those purchases successfully. And now my question is it really about single market we have in the European Union when only every third person is able to buy some goods and services from another country? I think this is about discrimination on basis of somebody's nationality or where his credit card was issued, and we don't have to have to accept that kind of discrimination on the 21st century in the European Union. So I touched only three issues, but we, as you know, we set 16 different aims, and during Maltese presidency, I hope you will deal with all those 16 aims, but if you will be able to find solution for those three issues, then it will be a really, really successful presidency. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. We hope, obviously, all of us here, we hope that the presidency would be a successful one. Definitely, we look forward to that. Now, I invite members, maybe who can put also some questions. Yes, Mr. Shkluna.
Thank you, Commissioner, for that very clear explanation. I think the reason why Malta is so very much interested, just like Estonia is, in other words, I mean, we are peripheral countries to the European Union. And under the old model, old regime, where we just relied on transportation of goods and manufacturing and so on, we were always at a disadvantage from the core German, France center. So digitization gives us this freedom that we are at the center while we are, location-wise, geographically, we are on the periphery. And that's why also why our economy is more and more reliant on the service sector and the manufacturing, while still holding its own, still relatively to the economy, which is growing, would be diminishing, relatively speaking. However, the services, it's very important, and that's why digitization is very important, and we gave it that importance because we rely on it, and especially financial services, iGaming, the film industry, you name it. I must say also that if that is the case, then our sister island Gozo is much more interested and should be, and that's why we're planning that they will have a second fiber optic cable so that there to be a reliable service. Gozo is an important district or island for Malta. They've got young upcoming graduates and very good connections with the US and other. So it's very promising, and they need the tools, in other words, to develop this. In fact, government is planning an area where there will be offices. There are already one or two software companies locating there. Malta, because very recently has had an accelerated numbers of immigrants, and when I say immigrants, including Europeans. In other words, because the economy is growing and it's sucking in a lot of people who will find jobs here, and also the same for tourism, we're open to more abuse. I mean, the cases of cards and falsification and ATMs being fiddled with and so on is increasing. At least we can... We are noticing that crime in that area is increasing. Regarding the the question of, so as far as EU inclusion is very important, some areas which are touching on digitization, but they are of financial nature, is the question of VAT. You know, the question of where should VAT be incurred. We've had a switch which really for Malta was a big blow in the iGaming industry, whereby we changed the origin of supply, who pays and to whom. And so that we lost a lot of VAT there. So I'm going to be short because my colleagues want to have their time as well. We are, because digitization and single market and EU inclusion is one and the same thing. I mean, they go together. And so we cannot make exceptions. I know that governments have had in the past monopolies on the lotteries and gaming and so on, and they want to maintain that in the future. So they are using a lot of side issues about what is legal or illegal, and it's blatant just in order to hinder the freedom of supply of services, where we know where the EU should be going in the different direction, should be moving towards single market. So these are some of the issues which come to mind. Regarding, again, Malta is now being taken just like a pilot research area for Huawei. So that's also is of interest for us, that Huawei have seen that Malta could be an area where they can test case some of their equipment and software, and with coordinating with the University of Malta. So we have, in the future, we have exciting things to look forward to, and that's why this area, which comes under your mandate, so to speak, is a lot of interest to us.
Thank you very much, Vice President Ansip, for taking your time to come today. I'm here both as a member of the European Parliament that sits on the Internal Markets Committee, but as Shadow Minister for European Affairs, and we are especially in this area looking forward to coordinating as closely as possible with the government on having a successful presidency in this, on any improvements and developments we can have in this area. I want to thank you for being what I consider at some points to be a lone voice in the European Commission currently in moving forward in an area which our young people and our people who otherwise would feel very detached from the European Union can see positive steps. One question that I receive almost on a daily basis is, what are you doing as our representatives in the EU to make us regain faith in a project that is otherwise on all other fronts suffering quite a lot? And I think that there are areas, you mentioned roaming, I will now touch on two other issues, which are 5G communications and the sharing economy, in order to see how we can bridge the gap between what you said as being, let's say, concrete and relevant limitations of the operators in the sector, but at the same time, for a little bit more of an effort, we could overcome the limitations by political will. You mentioned the 4% left for the total abolition. What people look at is that the final step is being hampered at the final, let's say, at the very, very last minute. And whereas they were promised total abolition of roaming charges, they are seeing last-minute hesitation. Now, in this case, I have spoken to the operators here. You are right that while there are some operators that operate across the continent, there are other smaller ones that will not be able to make up for the losses that they would suffer in countries such as here with the high peak season of tourist arrivals when compared to operators that are limited in their operation to here and rely solely on income from the island. On 5G communications, I think maybe something that I have seen you speak a little bit about, but maybe in passing. I mean, how ready is Europe for this? How can we ensure the free flow of data across the Union? I also sit on the Civil Liberties Committee, and there we see the other side of privacy coming along in order to possibly limit what the Internal Market Committee would like. And on the sharing economy and peer-to-peer platforms, as Airbnb gain users and influence, I mean, how far is red tape and regulation a concern? Are we helping enough digital startups to flourish? And the final point, you mentioned individual examples. I can mention another couple that I would not otherwise have known, first of all, had I not been a member of the European Parliament, and also if I didn't spend some time living in Belgium. We managed, and this is across the political divide in Malta, to allow for Maltese businesses to be able to sell on Amazon platform. Now, you would think that is possible, like any other operator or any other supplier across the Union, but we had to find ourselves in a situation where, according to Amazon, Malta was not considered to be a member of the European Union, and we had to overcome that hurdle, which we managed very well. And then one final personal point, you know, my Finnish mother-in-law tried to download the Uber app in Belgium and use a Finnish credit card to try to set up her account. Uber didn't allow it because it did not connect the fact that you could have a foreigner in Belgium to actually use a service that is otherwise available in Finland. These are little things that matter to an individual person, and if we were not in a situation where we would hear of these personal experiences, we would not be able to use them in our examples to improve policy. But anyway, thank you very much, and you don't have much time. We'll continue this in Brussels.
Thank you. Well, from my side, much of my concerns were already expressed, especially from the Minister Scicluna, especially when it comes to the territoriality issue in certain sectors such as the gaming industry. Also, I would like to ask a question. Recently, I have heard a lot about data cyber attacks on major websites. How, and also these attacks obviously highlight the vulnerability of the system. How can member state be assured that the system can also expand into more services following these cyber attacks? Thank you.
Well, I will start with cyber security issues. We already have this NIS directive, Network and Information Security Directive, and this is mainly about cooperation and about transparency. As we know, our companies they don't want to announce about cyber attacks they had to face with. And I don't think it has to be public, but there has to be some kind of transparency between national CERTs, for example, computer image response teams, and we have to be able to collect information about different types of attacks, and then we will be able to prepare also for those attacks. So, according to my understanding, cybersecurity is an area where no single member state, it doesn't matter how big this member state will be, no single member state is able to face alone with those threats. I have some kind of experience from my own country, from the year 2007, about how useful this cooperation between the different countries really was for Estonia. So, in the year 2007, we replaced Prune Soldier War Monument from the city center to the cemetery. Differences 2 kilometers only, but this was symbolic place, and they created a lot of tensions around this monument. We had to replace this monument. And then we had some kind of riots in Tallinn, and Estonia was under cyber attacks. And I would like to say majority of those cyber attacks, they were cut even before they crossed our borders, and it was because of the really fruitful cooperation between different national Czechs. So in Estonia's case, it works. It worked well. But in some other cases, TV Sank, for example, it took more than a week to deal with those attacks. So we had to cooperate, and there is a need to have transparency also. So, too detailed. then, about 5G and 700 megahertz. This is also an important topic. Sometimes it seems that when they are talking about 700 megahertz, you know, it's not a sexy topic at all, and it's not about our ordinary people, and let those specialists deal with those highly sophisticated issues. It's not about us, but I would like to say 700 megahertz, it's a really sexy topic, and it's about all of us. So, as we know, we, in the European Commission, provided to split this 700 megahertz into two parts, upper side for telecom service providers and then sub 700 part for digital terrestrial television and then for theaters using wireless mics. And our aim was to make this situation clear by 2020. Some member states, they asked for 2022. They said that it's too short period of time if it will be 2020. Well, I can understand that situation in different member states is very different. In Italy, for example, part of a digital terrestrial television in this band is rather remarkable. In Finland, once again, they are not practically using this band for digital terrestrial television. So situation is different. But and I would like to say once again that in the European Commission there are only good people sitting around the table, including me. And it's not about me either to accept this 2022 or 2030 or 2050. If somebody wants to get to 2030, 2050, yes, you can get. But this decision will be about the future. Those governments, they will like to provide to their people. So, as we know, in South Korea, they stated that they will start to use major elements of 5G since their Winter Olympic Games. It means 2018. I took part in G7 meeting in Japan. They stated 2020, during their Olympic Games, they will all use 5G. Ericsson and Telia stated that they will start to use major elements of 5G already since 2018 in two towns in Stockholm and Tallinn. This spring, the Vice Prime Minister of Belgium stated that they are ready to provide frequencies for 5G tests practically free of charge. There is only one condition. Local startups have to be involved in those tests. So this is a tough competition.
Sure.
And it's not about good or bad people in the European Commission, this final date we will have. It's about the future of the countries. So we can just think that it's possible to create apps based on 5G if you just know what kind of possibilities this 5G will provide. But at the same time, we know able to get really good solutions if we are facing with some real situations in real life, and the theory is good, but the practice is even better in this meaning.
Sure.
But talking about apps, we are not talking about some kind of peanuts. In the year 2014, in the European Union, there were 1.8 million jobs just in app industry. And according to prognosis, there will be 4.8 million jobs in the European Union in app industry by 2018. And when we're talking about amounts of money, then we're talking about 20 billion we had in the year 2014, and according to prognosis, there will be much more than 60 billion euros in this industry by 2018. Or let's take automotive industry. So maybe in some countries they think that it's possible to produce really good cars, able to use also 5G and all those possibilities, if you know theoretically how it works. But once again, I don't think it will be possible. So postponing, making clarity in this 700 megahertz issue, it can kill big industries in some countries. And I think there has to be a sense of urgency in all the member states. So connectivity, you are pioneers in this field in Malta, but as you know, we made a proposal to improve the situation in this field in the European Union. We set three new aims: this gigabit connectivity for main socio-economic drivers, access for all households, it doesn't matter, in rural areas, in the urban areas, to high-speed networks, and high-speed in this meaning is 100 megabits per second by 2025, and also 5G coverage in all the urban areas and main transport passes by 2025, and there is sub-aim at least in one city, major city in each EU member state, so they have to provide on commercial basis services based on 5G by 2020. And sorry, so there is real need to reach those aims, and if we will continue on basis of existing rules, then there will be a gap of financing. At least 500 billion euros will be needed to reach those aims. So, and this gap will be, if we will continue without changing our rules, 155 billion euros. So message is clear. We have to support co-investments, to support those first movers. We have to have deeper cooperation in the field of spectrum. I'm talking about deadlines of those spectrum allocation auctions, then duration of licenses, 25 years as minimum, but also coverage issues. Malta is covered. So in Lapland, in Finland, there is just less than 1% per one square kilometer. Density of population is almost zero, but
the connection is better than
some Western European countries. When I had to travel every month from Brussels to Strasbourg by car, then there are tens of kilometers where there is no connection. So two lines in one direction, two lines in opposite direction. During the rush hours, lot of cars and no connection at all. And in Lapland, people, if there are somebody, picking mushrooms, picking mushrooms, for example, they have access to the internet, and those operators, they don't say that density of population is too low to provide services. So, thinking about self-driving cars, if in one country roads will be covered with 5G and just in neighboring countries, roads will be not covered with 5G. What will happen with those self-driving cars when they will cross borders? In Malta, you know, not a big problem. Sorry, once again, I have to say that time is running too quickly. VAT, we will find some kind of solution on those problems also, but I would like to say that this WATMOS, which was heavily criticized in the very beginning, is doing fairly well. Last year we collected already 3 billion euros using this WATMOS system, and yeah, it was very well received, but we can make this usage of the system more comfortable for our businesses and people. Then online gambling and free flow of data, they are deeply connected. Now we can see how a number of rules prohibiting free flow of data in the European Union is increasing rapidly. Now we have already more 50 different rules dealing with forceful data localization in more than 20 European countries already. But it's dead end. Digital business is global business, and this business is based on data. Big players, global players, they will be able to create their data centers in all the member states, but for startups, message will be clear. Either stay at home or go to the United States, where will be possible to scale up. So I don't think we have to accept this trend we are facing already in the European Union. No. So I'm strongly against possible data localization. So sharing economy, Airbnb, we discussed about those issues, and our opinion is that we have to support those new innovative solutions, but it's this commission does not have any kind of plans to kill innovations over regulating platforms. So some people, they would like to regulate and let's say to kill some innovative initiatives. And with Uber and other taxi services, we can say it's possible to find solution also for in meaning of taxation, for example. In some countries, they created an app which allows practically to pay for those taxes online. So with accommodation and Airbnb and that type of services, it's too easy to prohibit those activities. But once again, in Japan, they said that they don't want to build up so many new hotels for those Olympic Games. They would like to use Airbnb and sharing economy platforms to cover this peak they will face during the Olympic Games. But time is over. I would like to say that I have good meetings with your ministers, and I'm absolutely sure that Malta is ready to take over this presidency in the European Union already right now. So you're well prepared for that, and I'm looking forward to have really fruitful cooperation between Malta and the European Commission during the presidency. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Thank you.